Thank you very much, Mother Allison. Good evening. From the first time I heard that song by the choir some years ago, it's been an old favorite. I heard it here for the first time. It's been a very special song to me. Justice called. Mercy answered. I'd like to read with you this evening from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, a very familiar chapter in the Gospel of John, I suppose, as familiar as chapter 3. Chapter 3 is one of those very, very familiar portions, and we believe chapter 10 is almost as well known. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the shepherd did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find a pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of His precious word. It is important to note from the passage we have read that the Lord Jesus speaks of Himself as the door. He speaks of Himself as the door to abundant living, as we have in verse 10. He speaks of Himself as the door to divine care and protection, as we have in verse 3 of this chapter. And He speaks of Himself as the door to eternal life and guidance. And so what that is saying to us this evening, there can be no abundant life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And He desires that we have this abundant life. This is the purpose for which He came. He came that we might have this life and have it more abundantly. It also says to us then that there could be no divine care and protection apart from Him. Life is hopeless apart from Him. Life is fruitless apart from Him. And so, in order to know divine care and protection, one needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the words of Peter as he wrote in his first epistle, chapter 5, that we are to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. The Lord careth for us. And also, in order to know eternal life and guidance, one must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Therefore, as we think of this fact, we note the necessity of the door. The necessity of the door. Now, when we think of Christ as the door, the fact that He speaks of Himself as the door, there is then the presumption that there is a within side of the door and a without side of the door. We realize that when we think of this fact, of this presumption, we think of the fact that to those who might be without the door are exposed to a number of things. This is why when you read the chapter, you will note the advantages and the blessings of stepping through that door, and all that being inside offers to the faith believer. And so, to be outside then, is to be exposed first of all to what? To what? When we think of want, we think of a person being cut off from divine salvation. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so to be saved, one has to enter in. To be outside then is not to be saved, is to be cut off from salvation. And to be cut off from salvation, one's life is destined for an eternity without Jesus Christ. And so, to be without the door is to be exposed to want. The soul is naked. The soul is empty. The soul is thirsty. Want? Yes. But to step into the door means to enter in to satisfaction. But also to be outside is not only to be exposed to want, but also to be exposed to danger. Emphasis, destruction. Destruction. You see, to be outside of the fold, that's the area of the wolves. That's the area of the life-threatening, spiritual life-threatening ideologies. And all of these things, to be outside of the door. Therefore, to be outside is to be exposed to danger. The danger of destruction. You see, when a person knows not Christ, and outside the door, there comes that time, should they not respond to divine overtures in stepping into that door, they will be destroyed forever. They will be cast from the presence of God throughout all the countless ages of eternity. But also, not only are they exposed to want and danger, but also to misery. To misery. Emphasis, hopelessness. There is no life like the life that is hopeless. There is misery. There is no will to live. There is no spiritual energy. There is no spiritual buoyancy that comes when a person has hope. You see, when a person has hope, life means something. Life have purpose and meaning. But when life has no hope, it's just a life of existence. And God never intended that a man's life just exists. Never. His desire, note the verse 10. That we might have abundant life. That's God's desire. And the life that is outside of a person, that is outside of the door, is exposed to a life of misery, a life of hopelessness. And I'm sure you have encountered people who are just existing. They get up in the morning, and life is the same. They go through the same routine. They give themselves to those things that do not help them. And they continue that cycle until they die. A life of misery. Emphasis, hopelessness. But also to be outside of the door is to be exposed to deception. Is to be exposed to deception. You see, the Bible tells us in verse 1 of our chapter that the person who climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. And when we think of such a person in this context, the emphasis, of course, is not only destruction, but deception too. Deception too. And so we find that to be outside of the door is to be exposed to deception. I believe we are living in an age like that today. There is all kinds of deception going on. And it's amazing how intelligent, well-meaning people are deceived, especially in the area of spiritual things. I was saying to the Bible class today, last year, a man in Korea prophesied that the Lord Jesus was coming in October. He gave the date. And I was driving from Marsh Harbor to the high school to which I was to speak. And I remember very clearly as I listened to the radio because I wanted to hear what these folk were going to say when they realized that the Lord Jesus did not come. And so 12 o'clock passed. Matter of fact, I think it was 11:45 according to the time adjustment that the Lord Jesus was to come. And of course he didn't come. And the proof that he didn't come, you and I are still here, those of us who are Christians. But the deception is this. The man who said to them that the Lord was coming in October advised them to sell all that they had and give it to him. If the Lord came, what would he do with it? I suppose he didn't think he would go. But he and the people did that, you know. They sold all that they had and they gave it to this man who said that the Lord was coming at that time. But to be outside of the door is to be exposed to deception. And let me tell you, if there is persistence outside of the door, the Bible tells us that God will send strong delusion, that they would believe a lie. And so there is danger outside of the door. Oh, that's why if you're outside, you are invited to slip into that door and to do it tonight, because outside of the door is the person is exposed to deception. But also to be outside of the door is to be exposed to darkness. Is to be exposed to darkness. For, beloved, when we think of the spiritual, it is only inside of the door that the light of the truth of God is seen and realized. Inside of the door, there is the presence and the person of God. And, of course, this has an extended application, as we are going to note if time permits, as we can progress in our meeting. And so then when we think of the door, there is the inside and there is the outside. Not only is there the presumption, but note with me, there is the establishment of the door. Now I think it's important to note this in this dispensation. You see, the choir sang, "When justice calls." Now, the emphasis, of course, I believe you know what the emphasis is, but just let me reiterate it. The emphasis, of course, is judgment or justice, the Lord demanding justice. The Lord demanding that the soul that sins, it must die. But when the Lord demanded that there be justice, the mercies of God cried. I have a little clipping from the comic section of the newspaper, one of the newspapers. I read the comics sometime, believe it or not. And you mightn't think so because I'm not too hilarious. But sometimes I read the comic strip. One that caught my eye some time ago was the one with Dennis the Menace. Dennis the Menace was grabbed by his mother, and you could see her with the strap. And she says, "Dennis, you are going to get justice tonight." Oh, Dennis says, "But mother, I don't need justice. I need mercy. Justice calls. But mercy answered." And my friends, this evening, this says to us that God has established the door. Now, it's a door of mercy. It's a door of mercy. Established by his incarnation.
The Lord Jesus left the ivory palaces above, and he came into this sin-benighted sea. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, the Bible tells us. Our Lord Jesus Christ took on likeness like unto us, with an exception, of course, sin apart, as the scriptures would have us to realize. But we note the establishment of the door by his incarnation, also by his crucifixion. You see, he had to come to die, but just to come was not enough. His life did not save. His life cannot save. His life did not provide redemption. We thank God he came, but he had to go further. And so, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. It is on the cross, my friends, that the door has been swung wide open through the cross work of the Lord Jesus. The door is open for whosoever will to come. You see, salvation was procured by the death of Christ. The establishment of the door by his crucifixion, which was mandatory. I listened to a program this morning, and I heard the preacher say, Jesus did not have to die. Now that might sound good when we think of his deity and the fact that he is God and all-powerful and so forth, but that is not theologically sound. Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He had to die. There could be no redemption unless he had died. And so his death was mandatory. He had to lay down his life. He had to take our sins, as we have in this chapter. It was mandatory, but also it was voluntary. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. Not only was his crucifixion mandatory, it was voluntary. No man took his life. And so a voluntary death says to us that that person loved. He loved those for whom he died. And this is why the Bible says, or Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, my friends, it was voluntary. And he laid down his life voluntarily because he loved you. He loved me. Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were active sinners, Christ died for us. Oh yes, beloved, it was voluntary, but also it was substitutionary. Now I've sort of touched on that as we've talked about his voluntary death. But the emphasis, of course, of voluntary is the fact that he laid down his life and no one took it from him. But when we think of the substitutionary aspect of it, he died for you and for me. In the book of Daniel, I think it's chapter 9 and perhaps verse 26. You perhaps have the correct verse, but it's in chapter 9. It speaks of the Messiah being cut off, but not for himself. He was to die, but not for himself. It was to be for others. Isaiah chapter 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It was substitutionary. Justice called. And when justice called, it meant that God was to pour out his wrath upon you and me. We deserved it. Ah, my friends, when justice called, and as it were, God raised the sword of wrath against us, the Son of God stepped there. The judgment fell, but it fell upon Christ. It fell upon him. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thine open bosom was my ward. Thou bore all ill for me. Yes, beloved, it was substitutionary. He died for you. Note quickly, as we continue to consider the necessity of the door, that this door offers the only hope. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What is Jesus saying? You can go to any other place. You can do whatever you like. You won't get hope. You won't get life. You have to come through this door. I am the door, he says, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Note the invitation to enter. The invitation to enter. The whole context. There's the invitation. Could you not see the Son of God who stands at the portals of the door and without outstretched arms welcoming men and women, young people, boys and girls to enter into that room, in through that door? Those arms have been extended towards some of you for many, many years. Some of you have felt the tugging at your heart's core. You have felt that inner compulsion by the Spirit concerning entering that door. But some of you have held on tightly to your sin and rebellion. You have held on. Some of you have looked at others and to give their lifestyle or their attitude as an excuse for not entering that door. Ah, beloved, listen to me. There is the invitation to enter. We're living today in the dispensation or the period of the open door and the closed book. The open door and the closed book. You see, the Bible tells us that God has opened the door. The door is wide open. By me, if any man enter in. And when you note other scriptures, like Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, when the bridegroom with the bride went in, the door was shut. And so it suggests that the door was open. And the door is open. This is that dispensation of the open door. Now you remember the Lord saying in the book of Revelation, When God opens a door, no man can shut it. God has opened the door. He has opened the door of salvation. And it's wide open for whosoever will. No one to close that door. Or there might be all kinds of religious ideologies, but let me tell you, they cannot close the door. God opened the door. Whosoever will may enter in. But it's the period of the open door. But the door, one day is going to be closed. Like we have intimated there in Matthew chapter 25. And also in type in Genesis chapter 7. When Noah and his family were invited to go into the ark, when they went through that door, God shut the door. I believe the door was open. A picture of salvation to all. Noah preached the word. People heard him. And there was the typical preaching of the message of life through the building of the ark. But people didn't listen, just like some of you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Emphasis, respond. And a lot of you have been hearing, but you have not really heard, because you have not responded. But you know, in Noah's day, the door was open. Let me read a verse to you from Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Oh, my friend, if you brought a Bible, turn to it and perhaps mark it. This is what it says. Luke chapter 13. I mentioned to you that this is the period of the open door. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door. It's open now. But one of these days he is going to shut it. I mentioned to you that this is the period of the open door and the closed book. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 and 19. The Lord Jesus goes into the synagogue in Nazareth. He has given the book. He opens, he finds the place, and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. It goes on to note the categories of people. Then, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. That's verse 19. But when you note Isaiah chapter 61, that's not the completion of the quote. That's not the completion of the text. You see, in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 2, it says, and the day of vengeance of our God. And so right in the middle of that verse, the book was closed. The book of judgment was closed. Because, you see, this is the day of salvation, the open door. But when you come to the book of Revelation chapter 5, I wish we had time to read it, but when you come to the book of Revelation chapter 5, John weeps, who is worthy to open the seal and the break, open the book and the break its seal. The angel said to John, don't weep. There is one who is worthy. And when you read further, it says he took the book and he opened the book. Chapter 6 through to 19 will prove conclusively that it's a book of judgment. As the seals are broken, as the seals are broken, one aspect of judgment after the other. Oh, beloved, listen, the door is open, the book is closed. Step in. God experienced the judgment real quickly. Note with me not only the necessity of the door, but the provisions through the door. You see, there is the blessings of a new relationship. John 1 verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can become a child of God by stepping through that door, the door of salvation, the blessings of a new relationship. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. Then also there is the joy of a unique relationship. There is verse 16 of our text. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It speaks of fellowship. It speaks of your new, unique fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And so through that door is the joy of a unique fellowship. Through that door is the satisfaction of abundant life. Shall go in and out and find pasture. I am come that ye might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And so through that door, there is the satisfaction of abundant life. Also through that door is the peace of divine security. The peace of divine security seen in the quality of life. It's eternal. Verse 28, it says, and I give unto them eternal life. Emphasis is not duration. Emphasis is quality. It's a life that changes not. And we mentioned to you since we have been ministering that the fundamental reference of the fundamental idea of eternal is not duration, but quality. It does not change regardless. God loved us with an everlasting love. His love doesn't ebb and flow. Ours do. But his love remains the same because it is eternal and he gives to us eternal life. Peace of divine security seen in the quality of life. The fact that it is eternal. It's the spiritual life of the soul. The life of God within. This life is a gift of Christ. Verse 28, John 17, verse 2. This life is to be fully enjoyed. The Christian life is to be fully enjoyed. And so not only do we have divine security seen in the quality of life, but seen also in the protection from the enemy. Look at verse 12. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. What is Jesus saying? Jesus saying that the hireling is not going to expose his life to danger, to protect the sheep. But I will. I will. And so, emphasis, protection. He protects us. Oh, beloved, I believe in the past weeks, we have had ample testimony to that fact. And you think of the fishermen, Brother Frank mentioned this morning about the storm, and our brother mentioned it tonight. Let me tell you, he has promised to protect us. The hireling will not. Job, or Satan said to God in relation to Job, skin for skin. Man will do anything to save his skin. Job is doing what he's doing because you are good to him. And that's true in terms of skin for skin. A man will do anything to save his life. But The Lord Jesus is saying, that's the hireling. That's the man who's not the shepherd of the sheep, but not the shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Divine protection. And then, when we think of this protection, the wolves, deceives the soul. That's the picture. Matthew 7:15. They come as wolves in sheep clothing to deceive, to divide the flock. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, and he said it weeping as he spoke to the church. He says, listen, after I leave, I know there are people who are going to be raised up among you, grievous wolves, sparing not the flock. Sparing not the flock. And so the wolves deceive the soul, divides the saints, and destroys the flock. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 27 and Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 3. The provisions through the door. There is also the assurance of the shepherd's guidance. When he puts his sheep forth, he goeth before them. The shepherd's guidance. I must conclude, but note the ultimate significance of the door. The ultimate significance of the door. It says, we are told in Peter that there is to be an abundant entrance into the presence of God. You see, the ultimate significance of the door is that as we pass through and receive Christ and become saved, it bespeaks the fact, as we have in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, and John is caught up. He says there was a door open in heaven. And so the ultimate significance of this door is entrance into the presence of God forever in glory. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're aiming for. That's the thing that's filling our hearts. You see, my friends, the ultimate entrance into the presence of God, promised by Christ himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so it's promised by Christ. He says, I'm coming and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you're going to be also. And so it's promised by Christ himself. It's guaranteed by the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, it speaks of the fact of Christ being raised from the dead, that our faith and our hope might not be in vain. Our faith, as far as salvation of the soul is concerned, our hope, as far as our eternal salvation is concerned, into the presence of God forever. Promised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, guaranteed by his resurrection, and prayed for by the Savior himself. And with this I close. John chapter 17 and verse 24. John chapter 17 and verse 24. Note this wonderful verse. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus prays that those who have been given to him behold his glory. When is that to take place? when the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, and we gather together unto him, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we shall be gathered together unto him, and we are going to take our one non-stop flight to glory. On that flight final, friends, that flight final that will encounter no bad weather, no storm, no opposition, no hindrance, as it flies into glory and lands on victory field. That's the flight. And we shall be with him, and that forever. I am the door, he said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Which side are you? I am the door. The words are but four. Millions have entered. There is still room for more. You can enter tonight. You can enter if you're outside. You do not have to continue being exposed to want, to danger, to misery, to hopelessness, to darkness. You can enter. The door is open. I know it's open tonight. It's open tonight because Jesus has not come yet. But when he comes, the good man of the house will arise and shut to the door. Then what, friends? Don't stay outside. Step inside. And thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. O Father, we thank you that the book of judgment is presently closed. Those seals are not being broken. The great white throne has not yet appeared. The book of judgment is closed. But we thank you that the door of salvation is open. And whosoever will may enter. We thank you for the many in this meeting tonight who have entered. They've entered that door, and they know deep down in the soul that all is well. But some have wives, some have husbands, some have children, some have parents who have not. O Father, if there be any such persons in this meeting tonight, will you not touch them that they might enter and be saved? O Spirit, as only you can do, we pray for Jesus' sake. I feel exercised to give out a hymn 251.